The following program is furnished by Startup Nation Media Group.
All right, welcome to this special edition of Startup Nation Radio. On today's show, we're going to do something a little different. I had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago to interview a couple of guys talking about the venture capital community here in the state of Michigan. And we'll get to the introductions and so on in just a moment. Before we get to that, let me just make sure that everyone understands the importance of venture capital. Now, if you're a startup company and you're looking for capital, at some point, you're either going to need to go to a bank, you're going to need to go to what's called angel investors, and those are investors, individuals, wealthy individuals who tend to invest directly into a company in exchange for equity. And then there are institutional investors, and those are companies like venture capital companies managed by a fund manager. Those funds are raised from wealthy individuals who invest into a fund, and they're raised from other institutions who invest in the fund. And then the fund managers go out and source potential companies to invest in. They vet those companies and they make the investment decisions on behalf of the investors who invested in their fund, and they make the investments. And then the idea is when a company grows up, it's expected to have what's called an exit event. When an exit event happens, distributions are made to all the investors in that individual company, including the venture capital firm who made an investment in the startup company. And when those returns come back, the venture capital fund then distributes those funds out to those who invested in the venture capital fund. So that's kind of the way it works at a very, very high level and at a basic and general level. That is the way it works. Now, venture capital is critical in particular for growth capital, for fast-growing, typically like high-tech, biotech-type companies that are going to need that infusion of cash to help them grow in exchange for equity. And then they get that accelerated growth, which leads to an exit event, again, where those distributions are made and where the success comes from. So that, again, kind of sets the stage for what venture capital is all about, why it's important, how it plays. And then for those of you who don't have a startup company that aren't or even have a company but aren't in position to be the type of company that is suitable for venture capital investment, maybe you're just a general consumer wondering, you know, it's pretty esoteric stuff. I don't know if venture capital is something I'd be interested in or that I need to pay attention to or that's going to affect my life in any way. Well, you better think again. As you will hear in the interviews that I did that we'll play in just a moment, you know, venture capital affects our lives in many significant ways. For example, if you've ever picked up a cell phone to make a phone call, well, it was probably backed by venture capital at one time. If you've ever made a search online, ever used Google, yep, backed by venture capital early on, and it has transformed the nature of how we investigate things, how we search for things, how we identify what we want to buy or what we may be interested in. The roots of all of that and much, much more are venture capital supported. So not only is venture capital important to the startup community, it certainly has a major impact on consumers' daily lives. And so with all of that as kind of the backdrop, we're going to talk to a couple of guys today about the status and the climate and venture capital here in the state of Michigan. And so when we come back from this quick break, we'll get to an interview with a couple of gentlemen who know the space well. We've got Ara Tapuzian, who's managing director of the Michigan Venture Capital Association, and RJ King, editor of the great business magazine covering Southeast Michigan, D-Business. So as I said, I was able to do an interview with them recently, and we're going to play for you that interview. So stick with us on Startup Nation Radio and listen in to learn more about the venture capital community here in the state of Michigan. Okay, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. On today's show, as promised, we're going to be featuring an interview I did a couple of weeks ago with a couple of guys who know the venture capital community well here in the state of Michigan and beyond. Really interesting interview. The previous segment set the stage for why venture capital is important, kind of what it is, how it's relevant, why you should know about it. We've got a couple of experts who are going to tell us all about it. And so here's the interview I did with Ara Tapuzian and RJ King. So guys, we are going to have a little discussion today around venture capital, the venture community here in Southeast Michigan, and all of the kind of the energy and activity going on. We've got RJ King, editor of D Business Magazine, joining us, and Ara Tapuzian, director of the Michigan Venture Capital Association. Great to have you guys.
Thank you. You guys are
like brothers in this community to me. We're in this together. We're deep in it, right? This is our thing.
Right.
This is our thing. So let's start. We'll get into some specific subject matter, but maybe just a kind of high level, you know, perspective, a little bit about your perspective of where things are, where we've been, where we are now, where we're headed. RJ.
Well, I think, you know, Michigan, and especially Metro Detroit, is, you know, trying like about 8 other regions around the world to be this mobility, you know, cluster, mobility tech center, you know, and you're competing with places like Silicon Valley and Israel, South Korea, Tokyo, and, you know, Germany, certainly. And I think the state is doing a good job with that, and that's going to bring a lot more investment to our state, both on the software and the hardware side. And then I think, you know, because of Metro Detroit's legacy as the automotive industry capital.
We certainly have a claim, a right to be in that space, right?
Right. Yeah.
You've got a claim to being a leader in that space.
So you have that, and you know, you're on your sort of fourth generation since the auto industry started. And we've been blessed with, like, a lot of high union wages, and that's contributed to a very robust, you know, hospital healthcare network.
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of medical tourism here. And you see a lot of investment in that space for medical devices, new drugs. You know, of course, Pfizer is producing the vaccine in Kalamazoo.
Yep.
So I think those are the types of things that I look at from a high-level standpoint that are in our favor. We've just got to do the hard work to attract more investment from outside our state.
Yeah. And I think we're in a sweet spot to do that in. You know, Michigan is a very inclusive state, and I think it's important throughout the Midwest. I think Midwest in itself is strong for both entrepreneurism and venture deals.
Yeah.
You know, we often see that VCs get compared in Michigan, get compared to Silicon Valley and Wall Street, right? It's normal, and that's really not fair. It's totally different. It's totally different here. Certainly, it's a lot smaller here. But I think it's a tighter community, certainly. You know, when I talk to out-of-state venture capital firms, they still like Michigan for a lot of the reasons RJ is saying, but just also that deals are more conducive here. Valuations on products and services are a little bit more level, and there's no shortage in the pipeline of entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about some of the hallmarks of the key ingredients to a great venture community. You know, obviously, you got to have great deal flow, right?
Yeah.
We've got that.
Yep.
We certainly have. I mean, here we're really focused on university-originated opportunities for VCs and angel investors and others to invest in. Our university system is strong. Michigan, the number one public university in the country for research grants and funding.
Year.
Right. And so you certainly have that going on. You talked about valuations. That's a key hallmark, right? I mean, you don't want to be paying double or triple what you'd have to do on the coast or Boston, say, for example. What are some of the other things? Quality of life, I think, is critical.
Yeah,
here,
cost
you know,
of living
to attract
is low.
Talent.
Yeah.
Cost of living is low.
Housing market's low, but you get a lot.
Well, you can get winter any time of the year,
right?
It's not just in the winter time.
If you're into that, you need to discover skiing or snowmobiling or whatever it may be in order to keep your sanity across the winter. But if you're into it, it's a great spot. And the summers are beautiful, no question about it.
Right,
the lifestyle's great here, right?
Yeah. Well, we can't forget Upper Peninsula. It's a major attraction, and there's deals going on up there. And I was just talking to someone the other day that, you know, we need to even go up there some more and do some more work.
Yeah,
I think there's just quite a bit going on within the state. And I know we're going to talk about talent, but that's a big thing.
Well, let's talk about it.
Well.
Talent, huge. I mean, you know, I'd say the big two are really funding and talent, really?
Yeah.
Those are the hurdles you have to jump over in order to really make it go. Let's talk about talent.
Well, firms are looking for a fantastic management team, right? Good CEOs, and that's kind of hard sometimes to find, but a good management team, certainly having their act together is something that a venture firm is looking at.
Yeah, and I think we also have some good talent coming out of some of the companies recently that have really established themselves here as, you know, examples of prototypes of doing this right. For example, you know, Dual Security, LlamaSoft, we've got OneStream, you know, really blowing
fantastic
up.
Fantastic exits
great.
That really push, you know, money back then into the Michigan
exactly.
ecosystem.
Money, there's been talent that's come here to work for those companies.
Right.
They've established roots here. Some meaningful percentage of them are going to stay, right? And so that helps our talent pool.
Yeah.
But it is still a challenge, and a lot of recruiting still needs to be done out of state. I mean, we have to see it as it is. I think that is still one of those things on the list that there's areas of improvement there.
Well, we've lost a lot of talent, right, in the last few years, and the recession didn't help certainly with that. But I think what we're seeing. I mean, I'm a lifelong Michigander.
As am I.
And I can't think of a better place to live. And,
right.
You know, raise a family, and you're seeing more people come back. For me at MVCA, too, that when I talk to these out-of-state VC firms that have ties to Michigan, they still want to come back. They still want to look at Michigan and what's going on. So even the ones that have left still kind of keep an eye on what's going on here.
It's an interesting thing about Michigan. I mean, you know, when you're from here, and I'm from Flint, Michigan,
right.
which makes it even more dramatic. And yet, you know, this is where I want to be. You know, it's an interesting thing.
And a lot of great things going on in Flint.
Flint, absolutely. There are a lot of good things going on in Flint. So let's, talent.
Yeah.
Good, improved, but still challenged. No question about it.
Everywhere I go.
And that's true. Everywhere.
Everybody is saying they need talent. And this was before COVID as well.
Yeah.
Because the economy was racing so fast with the, a sharp drop in the corporate tax rate, about 20% from 38%.
Yeah.
I mean, it was huge. Brought so much wealth that was sitting overseas back into our country. You're seeing more companies invest here. The chip makers and what Tesla's doing in Austin, Texas, and, all of those types of things really, really help our economy. And I think Michigan's got to figure out a way to maybe incentivize some of our graduates that are coming off the college campuses to stay here. I think we might get to that point where there might be some cash offers. I've heard of some already that companies are offering.
I didn't get any when I left. But I'm a Wayne State grad. Well, I guess that was a different deal. I have a degree in journalism.
Wayne State just did.
You could see how that helps.
We're going to write about it on soon, but there's so much coming off of those colleges.
I think there's more work, too, that we need to do with just, helping budding entrepreneurs just in general. I mean, we talk at MVCA about who's our end customer, and it's really the entrepreneur, right? And so can we be doing more in trying to nurture that? Is it through internships? Is it through apprenticeship programs? We used to have a program called a Venture Fellows Program that was partially funded from Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Great program. And it brought a younger group of talented individuals that it was sort of a, the firm would pay some of the money, we would pay some of the money. I'm really simplifying it. But it got newer graduates actually into the venture capital firms, which was good too. We need more of that. I mean, we don't have thousands of VCs, here in the state of Michigan.
No, that's true. We have a few. We have some really good headliner deals that are being done that are really critical, exemplary. Okay, when we come back from this quick break on Startup Nation Radio, we'll talk to RJ King and Ara Tapuzian about the funding deals that are getting done here in the state of Michigan, some of the high-level, most notable deals. We're going to focus on that. You'll hear all about them on Startup Nation Radio right after this break. Welcome back to Startup Nation Radio, a special edition focused on venture capital in the state of Michigan. We are playing excerpts from an interview we did recently with Ara Tapuzian, director of the Michigan Venture Capital Association, and RJ King, editor of The Business Magazine, talking venture capital here in the state. And when we went out to the break, we promised when we come back, we'd highlight some of the bigger deals, most notable deals getting done by venture capital firms here in the state. And we'll pick up with our interview right there. Let's move into funding.
Okay.
That's the other really critical component.
Yeah.
Funding was down a little bit, still strong, very strong in 2020, but nevertheless down from 514 to roughly 257, I believe it was. And, that's something we got to look at. We got to face. I mean, COVID certainly had an impact on that. But I think, a startling statistic for me that relates both to the talent and to the funding is that I think we lose roughly half the companies that get out of the university environments, go to the coast or wherever the funding happens to be. So you got to have the funding to keep the companies here, which then begets the talent and all makes the whole thing kind of go.
But the other part of that steam is that, last year, we just reported 88 startups have received funding.
Right.
When you talk about COVID, if you had asked me, maybe this time last year, would have thought, oh boy, we're going to have an awful year. We had seen two record years of capital under management, the investing that was going on, and I thought, oh, geez, do I even want to do a report
for this year?
And the results have shown that it is still strong.
Yeah.
And shows that resilience in the ecosystem.
Right. RJ, I think that was your headline. It was strong. And, you know, that's the thing to be made. Because you sometimes set yourself, you set the bar high.
Right.
When you run two record years, no matter what you run into, even in the absence of COVID, you know, in those circumstances. But was it roughly 350 or so in 2019?
But the report's based on, you know, I mean, it's the good, bad, and the ugly, right? It's not supposed to be. I mean, it's great if all of it is wonderful news, but it's supposed to be very factual, kind of comprehensive analysis to really kind of break it down.
Okay, so maybe are there headliner deals that you know of that are getting done that really are, you know, not, it's not just the total amount of money being invested, but it's the quality of the deals, the impact and importance and gravity of the deals that are getting done. Any that jump to mind right away that are worth highlighting
most recently,
and noting?
Huron Capital, they just divested themselves of their high insurance platform, which is based out of Traverse City.
Right.
I think they sold that. They didn't say what the sales amount was, but that was a platform they had been building steadily, and there was several dozen companies in there. So that was one that just recently happened as of mid-April. And I think, of course, the Duo Security has been in
Llama Soft toward the end of last year. These are big.
And then, the you know, other huge deals in the fintech space. You look at Rocket Companies, United Shore, which is now United Wholesale Mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both of those companies went public and were very, very successful.
Right.
That, I think, is going to create more capital.
More capital,
investing in the VC end of things.
And you're seeing
venture partners.
Yeah, and you're seeing, like, Floyd's Furniture, we just recently...
$15 million deal. Right,
I mean, so you're going to see more of that.
It's good. Bloomscape.
Bloomscape,
another $15 million investment funding deal recently. You know, and then the thing about the capital... When it does, when you have a great event, you know, an exit event, whatever it may be, it flows capital back at all levels.
Exactly.
So the founders and those getting distributions from the company when it sells, you know, those guys become angels now all of a sudden. And they certainly have the propensity and the appetite and the interest to be part of the game, you know, and this is a way for them to stay in the game and be part of it. So it, you know, fuels the angel level at the very, very earliest stages and certainly replenishes the funds.
I'm glad you said that because I think the angel community is a vital...
huge.
Yeah, it's huge in Michigan. It plays a vital role in the investment circle. We report some of it, but certainly through the Michigan Angel Summit, they recently released their report as well on things. But angel investors are up. They're still doing more deals. I mean, it's...
Critical.
Critical.
You know, in many circumstances, you can't have the venture activity going on at the later growth stages without the angels stepping up and getting the seed funding rounds done first, right? So it's that continuum, and you have to have the funding and the right funding at each stage.
And we need more of those, too. We need more of the pre-seed, the seed funds.
We do.
You know, we saw, it's as if you've set all this up for me to answer these things for you perfectly.
And we didn't even rehearse.
We didn't even rehearse. I have never met you before. No.
Right.
You got Michigan Rise, right? That they came out of Michigan State and Red Cedar Ventures, and they've partnered with the MEDC, you know, and it's a match. But, you know, they've done a phenomenal amount of deals, you know, in the last year.
Right.
You talked about universities, and U of M has got their Accelerate Blue program.
Fund just raised, early stage.
I mean, so there is some fantastic things going on.
Yeah,
love to see more of those.
Yeah. And those, as we said, those fuel the interest from the VCs, because now you've got companies that have some of the boxes checked, you know, that make venture capitalists interested in at least taking a look, a good, deep, close look. And so that's really exciting.
And those startups that are being nurtured on college campuses, once they come off, and even on the, you know, the scholarly side, you're seeing professors come up with companies and working with their students. That keeps those students here. Because once they graduate, the company's here.
Sure.
They're going to locate nearby, believe me.
Right.
So we've seen a lot of that.
You know, I have our own story. We do a little bit of early venture activity ourselves, mostly angel. But there was an opportunity where this was early 2000s when my brother and I were giving a little speech at the University of Michigan Business School on the subject matter of entrepreneurship, how you pull technology out of the tech transfer offices, how you build a company around meritorious, you know, research or whatever it may be. And giving this talk, and afterward we were approached by somebody by the name of John Langmore, who came out of the audience and said, hey, I've got some research in the lab I want to talk to you guys about, and I think maybe it merits building a company around. Make a long story short, we vetted it, we worked on it, we actually made a deal with the University of Michigan Tech Transfer Office, they established an equity position, and we grew the company over about a six-year span to a $75 million exit. Not front page news,
no.
But big returns for the angels, sure, who got involved, big returns, multiples, 10x kind of return. And certainly John Langmore did really, really well. And again, it's just part of that, you know, it all kind of makes it frothy, right? It all contributes to the ecosystem in many different ways. And so I remember that deal. It was really cool working with the university and, you know, great sorts of pride and a good run. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good return.
We need to hear more of those. I mean, we've tried to gather more of those stories here in Michigan to really get that out to folks like RJ and everybody,
right,
else. And so,
right,
we started a quarterly deals flow newsletter where we're trying to show certain exits, some fundraising wins and
yeah,
whatnot, so
yeah,
everybody can see really what's yeah, you know, what's going on.
And you know, that's so critical, because it's one thing to be doing the good, the hard work.
Yeah.
It's another thing to be getting the word out effectively.
Yeah. Yeah.
As the, what the result, right? And that's, mm-hmm, RJ, that's largely your job. How does the press, you know, what's the disposition of the press these days kind of generally on VC and these deals? This is pretty esoteric stuff. Many people view it as,
right,
not for public consumption, right?
Right.
But it needs to be.
Oh, I think we certainly have seen a jump in the level of a number of stories each year that we do that are in that venture capital space from even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
10 years ago, you really didn't hear much about it. Today, it is basically, it does make the front,
yeah,
page. And a lot of dollars involved. I think we could accelerate things if the state and the MEDC and the Michigan Venture Capital Association could all come together and you know, work to get more of these startup accelerators on college campuses,
mm-hmm,
get those students excited and involved,
yeah,
in learning,
right,
how to run and operate these companies. And that'll,
yeah,
keep us here. And then to your point, your report that came out in mid-April for the 2020 activity showed that a really startling statistic that for every dollar invested by Michigan venture capital firms,
right,
it's almost a $10,
yeah,
draw from outside the state of new investment,
yeah,
here. So that's huge.
So there's good and bad to that figure, right? And it's been somewhat consistent. I mean, you know, talking to one of our fellow board members, and we did this webinar yesterday and talked about it, and he made the comment, which I found pretty interesting, that, you know, maybe 10 years ago, for every dollar, there was $4 coming in from out of state. Everybody thought that was great. You know, and here now we're talking about close to $10 that are coming in. So the good is it goes back to outside firms are looking at Michigan.
Yeah.
The maybe not so good is that there's not enough funding here, to your point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So organizations like the MEDC, though, have spent a considerable amount of time and money to really play in that entrepreneurial space. So that's good. I mean, again, they were part of Michigan Rise, and they continue, you know, to do some things. They partner with us. They partner with a lot of organizations. But there, you know, there was specific funding a few years back, sort of a fund-to-funds type of an approach. That worked out pretty well. It actually started a number of different VC firms here in Michigan. And so, you know, we have that ongoing talk with the legislature. You know, there's always outreach to educate them on what venture capital it is,
yeah, yeah,
that they are job creators.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. That's a major point.
And, you know, by the way, they're going to help, you know, get a startup funded that, you know, is could change the world, you know, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do more there? So I think that
there's definitely
a funding issue.
Yeah.
And still has to happen.
I think you make some really strong points. I think it's, you know, it's important that the public understands that all of this is not just for the rich and the wealthy and it only impacts,
right,
their lives and so on, or the very heady, sophisticated entrepreneurs and researchers who,
yeah,
create this kind of stuff. You know, I'm busy. I got my everyday life
too
stuff
much
to worry
watching
about, right?
Shark Tank,
right,
on
right.
TV,
well, okay, but here's the thing: if you've ever done a search online,
Yeah.
You did it in part because venture capital backed Google when it was early. Mm-hmm. If you ever picked up an Apple iPhone and made a phone call or a text message, you did it because it was backed by venture capital. This, RJ, we ran an article on this in your publication not too long ago. This stuff impacts your everyday life. We're going to run to a quick break on Startup Nation Radio. When we come back, we're going to hear how follow-on funding to an initial funding round provided by venture capital is critical not only for the venture capital firms to ensure their investment bets ultimately pay off, but also so that the companies get the much-needed capital they need, not only in a first or second round, but on follow-on rounds to ensure that they can execute their business plan and do all they need to do in order to realize the success that they're pursuing. We'll be back in a moment with more on Startup Nation Radio. All right, as promised, in this segment of Startup Nation Radio, we're going to not only be talking about the initial funding rounds, but really focused on what's called follow-on funding rounds, and that is the funding rounds that companies need after the initial rounds in order to keep the company growing and moving toward a successful exit event that all these venture funds and the investors in those funds are looking for.
A lot of companies who get the funding, we need to make sure we not only have the initial funding, but that there's ability to get that follow-on funding, right?
Yeah. And I think a lot of that went on last year, certainly, thankfully, for a lot of the startups that were initially infused with VC dollars. Here we go into COVID, and as I continually have said to people, you know, not their first rodeo in a crisis.
Right.
Certainly, I think there was a lot of hunkering down, making sure that they did have some follow-on funding, you know, for their portfolio companies so that they can stay healthy.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is really the effect of PPP had a bit of an impact as well.
For sure.
Right? I guess a bit controversial, depending on who needed it and who really needed it.
Who got it and who needed it.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
But it seems like it was used throughout, I think, in a smart way and really helped a number of startups
So one point I would make about crowdfunding, it tends to be just a sector, because people that will invest in these types of things, they have to get it right away.
Mm-hmm. That's
like,
true.
For one example, we just got one about a gentleman that had designed this pizza cutter, and it's got all the ergonomic design to it. It's all silver, and it's beautiful. Now, people get that.
Right, exactly.
You know, but
we all get pizza, don't we, guys?
Some technical chip that somebody's coming out with that might help with LiDAR on a future mobility, might be a little tougher sell.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. So, and I think one area that, and we'll see if you guys agree with this, but I think our banks, whether they're headquartered here or have operations here,
right,
you know, they're very, very traditionally focused, and I think they should look at, you know, not just opening up all the purse strings or anything like that, but I think they could play a bigger role than they have been in.
Well, I think you're going to see that. I think you're definitely going to see that. Some of the laws have changed that that do allow that, and I think maybe some of the more progressive banks may end up seeing more of that come on.
That'd be great. Now,
did you? More importantly, did you get the pizza cutter, or
right? Exactly.
Did you?
Right.
I'm sensing a little hurt feelings. You couldn't.
Well,
you
know, I did get one.
Did you get it?
Yeah, it was very
if we're
going to
go in order of priority here, let's talk about what the most important thing is. Did you get the pizza?
Yeah,
no, I did get the pizza.
Right. We talk about follow-on funding. You know, I shared a story of John Langmore, and Rubicon Genomics was the story I shared that met with success. We also had a really, really cool company in Ann Arbor early on, again in the early 2000s, that we raised $15 million for, largely angel, but some New York family office kind of money as well, in a field of transgenics. And this was a really cool, but again, one of those esoteric companies we needed to get through FDA. And we got the $15 million. We got to the point of proof of concept on the technology and everything. But then needing the money to get through that FDA process, we here in Michigan fell short. And this was an unfortunate example of a company that had a lot of merit, really cool technology. In fact, the end of the story is that from a technology and business standpoint, it's in the market today and performing. Unfortunately, it's based somewhere else, not in Michigan, and it's performing for somebody else other than the group that got back this company. But without that follow-on funding, it was dead. And so that's a critical area of focus, too, that I know we all need to keep a sharp eye on. The good news is if you get the VC capital in an earlier round from a local investor, you're going to tend to get a better look right? They're going to want to make sure you stick around, and so you're going to get a shot at getting that follow-on funding. So,
well, you know, I think we have to talk about also realities with entrepreneurs too. When you talk about, you know, the startups getting that funding too, right? Not every company is going to get it.
That's right.
Not everybody is VC ready.
That's right.
You know, and I think that you know, I guess on my end, that's always the hard part of it, when, you know, I'll get a call and someone will think, well, you're MVCA, do you give out money? And the answer is, well, no, I don't. And, you know, well, can you connect me with somebody that will? It doesn't work like that. I can't emphasize enough of entrepreneurs need to do their homework.
Yep.
And they really need to have it complete. And sometimes they may just get one shot at talking
so
to
true.
A potential firm, right?
So true. You better be ready with that pitch, and you better know your
stuff. If I came to you with a pizza cutter, I better get it right.
That's
right?
A given.
Okay,
that's
well,
a
now
given.
I know what you'll take from me then.
Exactly.
Right. You know, the other resource, as we're talking about entrepreneurs, that's on our website at michiganvca.org, is we do a landscape guide, which is really kind of our answer to when I do get the call of, hey, who do I need to talk to and whatnot. But it's a bit of a membership directory for us, but it's a real complete resource that's available free on our website for entrepreneurs. Let's see, if they do want a cold call or contact the VC firm here in Michigan, they can look that up. They can see the sectors that they invest in, the type of funding, the stage of funding, and that type of stuff, as well as other, you know, the accelerators, the incubators, and university folks, and service providers that could help out. So that's a good resource
for anybody.
Anybody that's
great
watching.
Resource. Let's conclude on one really important and timely subject matter, and that is diversity. You know, I think it's roughly, I think it's a statistic, and correct me if I'm wrong, 15% or so of the companies that did get funding in 2020 were founders of color. Is the national average, is the backdrop 7.5%? So I think we're doing better than the national average,
right?
But still obviously not good enough.
Oh yeah, there's a major disparity, right? I mean, you know, national is here and we're down here, and yes, even though we're getting a bit better, there's more that needs to be done. We as an organization have always looked at diversity. The Venture Fellows Program involved the level of diversity work that was in it. We've done quite a bit of educating for our members and whatnot over the years. Certainly, the unfortunate incidences that have happened last year have opened up a lot of people's eyes to say, okay, we need to do more.
Yes.
We clearly need to do more, and it's time to do more.
Yep.
So what's exciting for me is that we've been very proactive in that realm. We've developed a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee. We've got a group of five folks from different backgrounds that we're coming together and go, how do we make a difference in this? What can we do? It's we got to be in the long game for this, right?
Yep.
And it can't be for the sense of publicity. It has to be for the right.
It's got to be real.
It's got to be real.
Right.
So we're in the beginning stages of it and taking our time to do it. But we're looking at things such as just developing better databases, okay, of entrepreneurs of color, you know, that type of thing, or different stats so that we understand it a little bit better. But even, you know, developing a toolkit of sorts for our VC firm.
Yeah,
you know, to understand, you know, the different nuances or whatnot that'll help them be better at handling diversity, whether it's in the hiring process or their educational process, you know, and I think the big one are networks, right? We network typically with who we just know,
right?
And so there's that unconscious bias too that we don't know. And we want to try and help with that as far as spread who people are able to talk to. So it's an important subject.
It
I
is.
Know for
yeah.
for us for sure. I know it is for RJ and you and everybody else. But again, it does have to be the long game, and we're taking a look at it, and we're doing a deeper focus on it. So we'll have more that's out there, you know, later this year for sure.
That's great, RJ. What do you?
Yeah, there's a lot of work.
We're making progress.
We are, but there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah.
Just nationally, the figures are for startups, for the Black community, it's like 3%. Hispanics is 12, Asians are a little higher than that. And the white community has the most. And I think really we should look at, you're starting to see banks going now into urban communities.
Yeah.
And I think if we can get more startup type of, you know, services and introductions to this community in these community centers all around urban areas, not only in Michigan, but around the country,
yeah.
I think we'd be a lot better off and get a lot more kids excited.
Yep.
And starting to think about, wow, I could own my own company.
Right. It is in large part cultural and educational, you know, inspirational, all of yeah. those things that, you know, that needs to create that, you know, that just that better ecosystem in order to be more inclusive.
And we're seeing new funds come.
We are.
For, angels, with the focus, you know, the Commune Angels is
yes,
phenomenal.
Yes.
The New Community Transformation mm-hmm, Fund, mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. a kind of a spin out of from the right place on, in Grand
yep.
Rapids. So
yep.
we're seeing more of that on our end. We're trying to spread that info as much as we
can. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's great, guys. I mean, this is a good opportunity to get together and really exciting to have a chance to chat with you guys and check in.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Get your views
yeah,
on,
no,
on where we
Thank
are,
yeah.
where we need to go, what we need to do better at, right?
Right.
And so thank you. Thank you so much for your time
for
and
us.
Your insights. Yeah, and it's great.
Yep.
A really interesting show today. We again played excerpts from an interview that focused on venture capital, and specifically venture capital in the state of Michigan. Really critical if you're going to have a vibrant startup ecosystem in any given location, you must have access to capital. And frankly, venture capital is just a critical component of the financing community. And today's show really helped put perspective on venture capital in general and how we're faring here in the state of Michigan with the venture activity we have going on here and what else is needed maybe to supplement and augment the venture capital activity going on today. Great show. Helped put a lot of perspective on this. Hope you enjoyed it. Back next week with another edition of Startup Nation Radio.
The preceding program was furnished by Startup Nation Media Group.